Thank you, Sister Clark. My, that's the message, amen? And it's good to have Hector playing for us this morning. He's back over there, and good to have he and Sharon visiting with us. And good to see all you folks. And if you don't know who I am, I'm the substitute preacher this morning. I appreciate Brother Parsons giving me the opportunity. He did have to be called away a little early as his grandfather's house caught on fire, and his grandfather was burnt some, but we talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he's doing good, so we praise the Lord for that. And it's good to see everyone today. Some of you folks beginning to get back. It just hadn't got cold enough up north yet, has it? And good to see Brother and Sister Mariner with us today. Good to see you. And I want you to go to the book of Numbers this morning. And I know it's Thanksgiving. I may or may not say something about that, but that don't keep you from being thankful or make you thankful. Either one, does it? And we do have a lot to still be thankful for in America. And we better save what we've got. Amen? I'm going to tell the story to save a little time. I'm going to read a couple of verses found in Numbers chapter 14. If you start off here in your Bible, get on through Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus, and get on over into Numbers here. Chapter 14, we got the story here. The children of Israel now, God's led them out of Egypt. He's parted the Red Sea. He's promised to take them to the promised land, we call it, into Canaan. And that's the plan that he's following. And He parts the Red Sea and shows his power, and yet when they get up to the border of Kadesh Barnea, and right looking in the promised land, the people begin to murmur. They begin to fall in fear. And so they sent some spies out. If you were in Sunday school much, and I hope you were, you learned some little Sunday school songs that tell the story. You know, 12 men were sent to Canaan. 10 were bad and 2 were good. Remember that one? And that's a lot of messages in those little courses that we sang in Sunday school. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about the 2 that were good this morning. The others more murmured and defied God and said, the giants are over there. We can't go in. But 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, said, we can take them. We can take them. We can go in. And so God preserved these 2 men, but he let the rest of the crowd go out and wander in the wilderness for 40 years under the judgment of God when they could have been on the blessings of God. So I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, living past the promise. And if you'll pick it up with me here in about verse 38 and 9, we'll use it a little bit for our text. It says in verse 38, but Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land. I want you to watch 2 words, lived still. They kept living, these 2, out of the rest of them. And Moses told these sayings unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now, I guess the message this morning, if I can say it like I want to, it'll cause all of us to kind of think where we're at. Where are we at in relationship to God's promises? I'm talking about living past the promises. It's always good to know where you're at. Sometimes it's a little dangerous to not know where you're at. I did hear about the blind man around 1600 Peninsula Avenue in Washington, around the White House up there, and he got separated from his dog, and he just opened the door and went in, and he realized there was a crowd of people in there, and he kind of found a table and sat down. And he thought he'd kind of break the ice, so he spoke up and said, who would like to hear a Biden administration joke about why they don't get it? And it got quiet. The bartender spoke up and said, mister, you don't know where you're at. You've come into a far left barroom. And sitting over to your left is Nancy Pelosi. And to your right over there is Kamala Harris. And that man nodding off in the chair in front of you is Joe Biden. Are you sure you still want to tell that joke? You still want to tell that joke about why they don't get it? He said, well, no, not if I've got to explain it three times. Now, I know where I'm at, so I'm not worried. It's good to always know where you're at. Amen. The context of the story, two men here trusted God, and the others did not. And the book of Hebrews tells us they couldn't enter into the promised land, not because of the giants, but because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. You see, these two men lived past the promises of God. The others didn't live up to the promise of God. God had promised them all power. He demonstrated that power in parting the Red Sea. He could have taken care of the giants. He could have brought them on in. That's what he'd promised. But we do have two men here that lived on past the promises. I want to say to you, in this book, in God's word, there are a lot of promises. There are promises, for instance, to nations. Over in Psalms 33:12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, early America, as we heard Sister Clark singing, was blessed of God. Oh, so blessed of God. We were known as the land of promise. And we were living on the promises of God, seeing God's blessings upon us. And we had a type of government that mystified the world. It was called a democracy. Something that had never worked before. Government by the people, for the people. You know, but the world said that won't work. All governments had been dictatorships one way or another, or they had a king, or they had this or the other. And old Cirio, the Roman senator, said many years ago, a democracy can only last at the best 200 years. And then the people will find out they can rob or vote themselves out of the common treasurer, and they'll destroy it. Do you recognize where we're at, folks? Do you recognize these socialist bills that are being passed? Do you understand that's exactly what has happened? We were known as the land of promise. And we had something that mystified the world as we trusted God and gave man his freedom. We were known as the land of the free. We had constitutional rights that we're losing today. Oh, this week, if you kept up with it a little bit, they had the trial up there in Wisconsin, remember? The 17-year-old boy that dared to practice the right of self-defense when he was about to be killed by the mob. And Kyle Rittenhouse, we all rejoice when the jury, the 12 juries, God bless them, stood up in spite of all the pressure of a liberal media and all the mob outside beating on the wall. They stood up and said, not guilty, and we still got the right of self-defense. Oh, we don't want to give up that right. See, we have moved to the place that if the right comes to your house, you don't have a right to fight back. You saw the pictures of the man and the wife on the porch with their guns and the mob breaking down the gate and coming in. But guess who was taken to court? Guess who was prosecuted? The man and wife protecting their home and their lives. Oh, we've seen some awful stuff, but I looked like for a little while this week we could rejoice that old America was standing up again. And we're not totally gone, and we do need to pray for those jurors. But folks, sadly, we're living past the promises that America held out to the world. We're not the same if we lose our rights, our constitutional rights. Sadly, we're living past the promise that America held out to all the nations that wanted to be free and men that wanted to be free. And we need to restore that early promise of America. And not live past it. But you know, some think we're living past the promise that Jesus is coming again. Or some are saying, but listen, it's not only being said in our day. 2 Peter 3 over there in chapter 3, he says, in the last days, the scoffers will come, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. He said, they're willingly ignorant. And there's a world out there that's willingly ignorant, but God's promises are going to be fulfilled. The poet has said that God has never spoken but a promise he didn't fulfill. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus is coming again. Now, a lot of stuff's happening fast today. We see government control like never before. In this in this bill that's just, they're cramming through right now, this socialistic bill, they're going to have $87 billion to hire 80,000 new IRS agents to check your bank account because you're not paying your fair share, right? That's pure baloney right out of the mouth of the one that don't know truth from fiction anymore. The one nodding off in the chair. The truth of the matter is, it's a bad time right now. I hope you're praying. All the world is skeptical that Jesus could ever come again. We've been teaching in Sunday school how he is coming back. One day they're going to recognize he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And what a shock it's going to be to them. Today we're seeing the shadow of it. We're seeing the shadow of the mark of the beast as you're being forced to be vaccinated whether you want to or not. Do you realize the military is losing some of our best men because they will not bow to it? Do you realize that some of the airplanes can't even fly because a lot of the staff will not be forced into vaccinations? Do you realize even hospital staffs are hurting now? Makes you wonder what they know that we don't know. I'm sorry, but I'm a skeptic of it. You do what you want to, but you ought to be free to say yes or no and not be forced by the government to put anything in your body you don't know what it is. Amen. We look around and see jobs being lost, careers being lost. And worse than that, parents are being called terrorists. Why? Because they are concerned about what the kids are being taught. I mean, sick the FBI on them if they dare stand up in a school board meeting and say, this is wrong to teach this stuff you're teaching my kids. Where in the world have we come? Have we lived totally past the promise of freedom in America? It looks like we have in a lot of ways. On this Thanksgiving, I think we ought to be thankful for our history. The trouble is our nation has forgotten its history. And God's got a word for that in the Bible. God tells us over there that the wicked shall be cast into hell and all nations that forget God. We cannot forget God without paying the price for it. Oh, how we need to claim the promises of God. We are living in an unusual time, no doubt about it. You say it can't happen in America. It happened in Australia. They speak a form of English over there, you know. Let me see how that goes. We speak it correctly in America. They mess it up a little bit in England. Time it gets to Australia, I can't hardly understand them. But I'm joking a little bit. That's people just like us that love freedom. They said it couldn't happen. All of a sudden, through hook and crook, they got some laws passed to take up their guns. Now look what's happening. Now they are shutting them in the house. And yet out of 35 million people, only 1,600 of them died of COVID. That's hardly nothing. That's less than 1.1%. That's crazy. It's an excuse. It's a power grab across this land today. Everywhere that you look and all across this planet. You know, I do not believe we're past the promise of Jesus coming. He said, if I go away, I will come. That's a promise. That's a promise. He said, I will come again. That where I am, there you may be also. And I believe with all my heart he's coming. There's two books in the Bible written about this. There was a letter written by Paul to the church at Thessalonica called 1 Thessalonians in your Bible. 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote, and he wrote about the coming of Jesus and all that, and they got a little bit mixed up, and they said, well, maybe we've missed it. Maybe it's already happened. And Paul had to write a second letter. We call that 2 Thessalonians in our Bible to correct them. No, he hasn't come yet. This and this will happen, but he will come, and he will come. No, we're not living past the promise of his coming. I believe we're living in the midst of a good chance of seeing it fulfilled any day that the trumpet sounds and calls the saved out. Amen. Oh, yes. There are people that are living, believing the lie of the devil. And they think the promise is not real, but it's real. It's real. And then there are those that sadly are living past the promise of life. And I'm talking about even earthly life. The promise of long life. You know, you folks, I'm looking at a bunch of you that maybe you're not quite as old as me, but you're catching up. You're not too far behind. You ought to spend a little time in Psalms 90. Do you ever meditate through Psalms 90? If I can find it quickly, I'm going to turn to it, listen to it. Psalms 90. Listen to it over here in about verse 10. The days of our years are threescore. Score is 20. The days of our years are threescore. That's 60. And 10. Add 10 to 60, you get 70. So it says, and the days of our years are threescore and 10, and by reason of strength, they may be fourscore. That would be 80. Yet is there strength in their strength. There's labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I love the song. We'll fly away one day, oh glory. Amen? We're going to fly away. But you know what? Here's a promise of long life. And it talks about threescore and ten, not 70. And then it talks that God might, through your strength, even though it'll be sore, you'll hurt worse, maybe that last 10, but He may even, through your strength, give you strength to go, give you an extension, if you please, 10 more years. So if you're 80 or past, like I am, we're living on an extension. Do we understand what an extension is? If you get an extension on a debt, you know it's going short, but you got you a little while longer. Something else is an extension. We understand that. A lot of us I'm looking at right now living on an extension. Aren't we? Sure we are. But here's the promise of long life. Here's a promise that God can give you an extension. And many of us are there. Sister Maki, I don't know about your background there with the, but sometimes I've heard of prison guards. When a man is fixing to be executed and he's walking that so-called last mile, sometimes they'll say, dead man walking. Dead man walking. We're looking at around, and you're looking at me, and yeah, some of us are dead men walking. We own an extension. I'm a dead man speaking to you this morning. It should mean that you ought to take what I'm saying a little more serious. Yeah, amen. The Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abel's blood cries from the ground that he being dead yet speaketh. Yet speaketh. I'm saying to you this morning, God might have given me an extension of life so I could keep preaching. Amen. He might have given you an extension of life so you can keep listening. Amen. Oh yeah, we may be living past the promise of 70. We're still going on in God's grace. Amen. I say to you today, especially if you're not saved, you ought to consider, are you on an extension? You know, my personal testimony for Sonia and I both, there was a time a few years ago, quite a few years I guess, that it dawned on me, she and I are living past our generation. We're actually living almost past two generations. And as I began to see those kids, that little kids that used to kind of hug me around the knees, and now I saw them come to the wedding altar, and I led them into vows, and then I was in the hospital when the first baby was born, and now that baby is coming to the altar to get married. Oh, yeah. And then I see the funerals I've had through the years, and I realize I'm on an extension. I'm on overtime. I'm living past the promise, Brother Scotty. Past it. Amen. I couldn't complain one iota if God took me today. Amen. I'm long past the promise. Long past the promise. God's been good. He's been good, my wife and I. We were able, as a whole, to have good health through the years. We had our little things common to man, but nothing bad. Probably Sonia was in the hospital 3 days this week, and while that's somewhat routine, it tells us we're on an extension. God's been good to us. I've often said my wife was young for her age. Somebody asked me this morning how you like playing doctor. I said it'd be all right if the patient would obey. Amen. But you know what I'm talking about. Somehow she don't trust me as a doctor. I don't know why. But a little personal testimony. We were in the room this week, and a new doctor that come in had not seen her. Craig Borgsiana was with us, and Craig was a real blessing to us this week because he had medical training in the military, and he came and helped us. A new doctor came in the room, and he walked in and looked a little puzzled, like he was in the wrong room. And he pulled out his chart, and he started trying to spell out her name. And he said, "I'm looking for Sonia Carter." And he looked and he said, "And she's 83 years old." And Craig spoke up. And he said, "Yep, she's a young 83. You know what? We've been blessed. Amen. We've been blessed. We own extension, but we've been blessed. And I say to you here, especially if you're here unsaved today, did you ever ask yourself a question? Why is Mama still alive? Could it be she's still praying for you? Amen. Still witnessing to you? How is it that the preacher that you've known since you were a young person is still preaching at you? Ever think about that? Do you ever think that God wants you to get in while there's time? He wants you to believe Him and trust Him while there's time. Some of you are in danger of living past the promise of salvation, the promise of the gospel. How many times have you heard that Jesus loved you and died for you? How many times have you heard the preacher say, Jesus said, "Whosoever will come unto me shall be saved. And whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast him out." How many times you heard that? How many times you've been in the house of God and the man of God just kept on saying the same thing, same thing? Now you're hearing it from a preacher on extension. Overtime. Walking, speaking, dead man. Oh yeah, should have been dead far as the promise goes. No promise of 100 years, no promise of tomorrow. Wonder if God's long suffering and mercy is being ignored by you. His power. See, the children of Israel ignored His power to part the Red Sea. They didn't think he could take care of the giants in the land. And they doubted in Him and they murmured and they brought judgment upon themselves. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go, let's believe God. And old Caleb just lived on and on. Went into the promised land. Received the inheritance that was his. Amen. I want to say to you, if you believe God, you can go into the promised land.
Amen.
You can cross over. Oh, think about it. Have you lived? Listen to me close. I'm talking to you personally. You're in danger of living past the promise. Past the promise. There's a promise of salvation held out to you today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Or there's such a thing as crossing a line unseen by man but seen by God. When you'll hear the last sermon and you'll hear the last invitation and you'll have the last witness and you'll have the last person praying for you, there is a line you can cross. You can cross. Bible says that when we stand before God, every mouth will be stopped. That every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But that's on the other side when it's too late. You are going to confess him one day as Savior. Confess him now and you can have heaven as your home. You can miss hell. But wait on the other side. You will confess him, but it'll be too late for salvation. Some of you have heard me preach through the years, and you've heard various stories I've told. God's let me see some things and hear some things and know some things. And I'm still thankful to all that. And I say to you, there is those that have heard through the years that did not get saved. They lived past the promise. They died lost. I've told a story. Way back, first 3 years, I pastored a little country church. Somebody in the church asked me if I'd visit a family. They said they've had a terrible tragedy. The two sons, the two brothers, have been murdered, killed by criminals, the gang, whatever they called them. They were found with their bodies stuffed in the trunk of one car, both bodies. So I got the address, found where they lived, went down a little road and found a farm that morning back in the woods. As I drove up, there was a man on a tractor plowing a field. And he come from the field to meet me at the house as he saw my car coming. And as I got out of the car, he's still on the tractor. And I identified myself as Pastor Carter from Gant Lake Baptist Church. He said, if I'd have known you were a preacher, I would have even come in and quit plowing. And he turned around and went back. Both his boys dead. Both of them found murdered in the trunk of a car. I'd promised to make the visit, so I went ahead and knocked on the door. And an older brother came to the door and invited me in very quiet-like. And I went in. And sitting over in another chair was a young woman, a young mother, married to one of the boys. The older mother was pretty quiet. I tried to tell them I was a pastor. I'd help if I could, and I was so sad I was going to pray for them. I said words like that. And the young wife just kept kind of looking at me and just looking at me. And finally, I was about to excuse myself, have prayer, and go. And she said, preacher, I got one question. I said, help if I can. She said, suppose they didn't have a chance. Suppose they didn't have a chance. And I started to say, well, and she spoke up and answered her own question. She said, we both know they did have a chance, didn't they? I want to say to you, you got a chance. You still got a chance. You haven't lived past the promise yet. The promise is still good for you this morning. You can receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and he promises to save your soul, to write your name in his book. But you keep living. The extension's going to run out. Your opportunity's going to be gone. You're going to cross a line too late. Please don't do that. I encourage you this morning. I don't believe you came to this building by accident this morning. I believe you're here to hear what you heard. And this preacher on the authority of God's word invites you to receive his son that loved you and died for you and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. The promise is still good for you this morning. But I do warn you, you can live past it. You can live past it. I pray you will not. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our heads bowed. Let's stand quietly to our feet. We're going to do what gospel preachers are doing all over the place. When they preach a sermon, they invite men and women to step out and confess Christ, receive Christ while there's time, while the promise is good. And I invite you and I plead with you this morning to come and receive Christ. All the question, have you had a chance? Yes. Do you have a chance? Yes. Will you take it? Will you take it? I pray you will. With our heads bowed and the preacher's looking and God is looking, let me ask you this morning, Can you say, preacher, thank God I received the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven because of him, not my goodness or anybody else's, but him. He paid it. He paid it all for me. I know him as Savior. Can you say that by the uplifted hand across the building? So many, so many. Oh, friend, if you can't lift your hand this morning, you ought to ask yourself why. You ought to ask yourself, how close am I to living past the promise? I pray you won't. Father, I come to you in prayer. Lord, I'm looking at a lot of folks out there. We're already past the promise of long life. You've been so good to us. You've given us extensions. And then, Father, there are those out there that are younger today. And they think they got plenty of time, and they turn one chance after another down. Father, I pray for them because I know the day can come. They live past the promise, and it'll be too late. I pray for them right now, Lord. If it be your will, as we sing a song, invite them to come in the midst of God's people that are praying for them, in the midst of God's house that you established. I pray they'd come and receive Christ today. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to step to the front. I'll meet you here. If you leave that seat and come and just simply say, preacher, I'm going to receive Christ. I'm going to believe on him today. I'm going to claim his promise that I'd be saved. Will you come? Come on as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that
will you come this morning? Will you come? Will you meet me here? The promise is still good. Don't live past it.
Of God.
As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul.
How about you this morning? How about you?
One dark blood to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot.
Let's bow our heads one more time. Come to receive Christ. How about you this morning? How about you? Through the years as a pastor, and I've been a pastor 53 years, I've seen folks come on the last verse many times. I've seen others that went the other way on the last verse. Oh, I hope if you're here and you're not saved, you don't do the wrong thing this morning. Live past the promise of God for salvation. Stories like I just told you about the two boys that were murdered and left in the trunk of the car, I can tell you about others. On the good side, I can tell you about a lot of others that made it in. Claim the promise and receive Christ. Some of them have gone now too, but they went out rejoicing. Just had the funeral of my brother Harvey, and many of you knew Harvey. He suffered an awful lot. And people come up and they say, well, sorry for your loss. No, he's not lost. Go and see him again. But not suffering. Not suffering. Because I remember when he got in on the promise and knew the Lord Jesus. Many of you can say that. See, folks, we are all on an extension. Just the other night, Brother Terrell Carter was sitting right over here. We all shook hands with him, rejoiced on Wednesday night. He went home and died. He didn't know that. We didn't know that. Bible says we don't know what another day brings forth. Don't know who holds tomorrow, but thank God we know God does for us. Amen. How about it with you? Can I just get you to think this morning where you're at right now? I told a joke about the blind man not knowing where he was. Some of you are worse than that if you don't know where you're at right now with God. How are you with God? You got peace about it if God calls your number today or not? Don't get any more important than that, folks. Oh, thank God it's a no-so salvation. Amen. I'm so glad that the promise is still available. Or this world right now, it's on a collision course with the judgment of God. It's going to happen. But I'm sure glad that we can have the assurance that he's never broken a promise spoken, brother. It's safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's victory. I hope you know him this morning. Hope you know him as Savior. Out in radio land or online or wherever you're at this morning, what I'm saying to this building full of people, I'm saying to you, the promise is still good. It's still available. I mentioned Brother Terrell Carter a while ago. He was a faithful radio listener. Even after he got saved, Sister Carter said he still heard the sermon on the radio. Well, he called me. I really didn't know him, had not met him. He said, I want you to know I got saved listening to you on the radio. See, you can do that. Right where you're at this morning, you can get saved. You can stop the car. You'd bow the knee and the heart anywhere. Oh, that's the good thing about Jesus. He'll meet you where you'll meet him. He'll be your Savior if you let him. Brother Terrell got saved. Come on to church and got baptized, joined church, and didn't miss. It was real to him. I asked you this morning, is what I'm talking about real to you? I hope it is. I hope you haven't made up your mind to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're in danger of living past the promise. Past the promise. Don't do that.